Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. I was getting ready tonight, and I asked the precious lady that's our host this week. We're living in her home. I said, do you think your people are ready for some meat? You know, the meat of the word. I mean, do you think they could handle if I was to really throw out a big hunk of meat? Now, St. Paul refers to meat as the solid word of God, something that's really penetrating and really challenging to our faith today. And so tonight, I'm going to throw out a big hunk of meat. And I just hope nobody gets choked, because it really... You see, the Word of God challenges us. The Word of God will reveal to us our sinfulness. The Word of God is the Spirit of God. And as we begin to look at the Word and obey the Word, it'll bring us into the reality of a love for one another. All it can do is challenge us to love one another. God is love, and God built me in His love, and He built my sister in His love, and it's in that love that God is glorified. I'm going to read to you. I know you all brought your documents on Vatican II tonight, because you're really interested in the teachings of the church and how our bishops are speaking to us and how laymen are supposed to respond and be obedient. So I'm going to be reading from page 760, if you'd like to open your books to that page. And it says, now listen very carefully. Now this is 2,500 bishops talking. And for me to understand this, they're talking to me. If I try to make them, if I try to listen for you, I'm going to miss the boat. But if I listen for myself, then the Holy Spirit is able to begin to teach me. So, in the document on Scripture, the bishops start this with the introduction to the New Testament. We're going to be studying tonight from the New Testament. And they say that the Word of God, which is this, this is the Word of God. They tell us that the Word of God, which is the power of God. My brothers and sisters, as we begin to live the Word, it'll produce power. And it's really not a power that we understand in the world, because the power that we understand, all the power that's created in the world destructs. It burns up. It uses. It consumes. But the Word of God, which is the power of God, that power is love. God's power is love. Love is above the law. Love never fails. Love will go on forever. Love is the key to serving God. So, probably the biggest piece of meat or the word that I could throw out here tonight is to challenge us to begin to love one another. And we're going to look at Scripture and see how the Scripture tells us to love one another. The Word of God, which is the power of God for salvation to anyone that has faith. When you begin to live the Word of God, you'll have to live it in faith. You won't understand it. It'll be against your intellectual concepts. It'll be against your own nature. It will be that as you begin to live the Word of God, the power it produces is love, and that love is unconditional, and it is in that love that will produce our salvation, and it is in that salvation that will require us to operate in faith. So it's the Word of God, which is the power of God for salvation to anyone that has faith. We must be willing to live the Word. And as we live it, produces faith. And if you're up on Scripture, it says, faith worketh love. The only thing that can come out of faith is love. Nothing else can come out. I mean, nothing else can come out of faith but love. Just work. God created the whole universe in faith because He loved. They two go together. Faith will always produce love. Won't produce anything else. And it is in a spirit of love that we operate in faith that produces our salvation. And it is in the Word that we must go to and allow this Word to minister to us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in the Word. And as we yield to the Word, Holy Spirit will convict us of our sinfulness. I mean, He'll make us uncomfortable. Some of us are going to get uncomfortable tonight. And it may even be me. You know, I preach to myself. And most of the time, I'm the one that's the most uncomfortable. When I hear these things coming out of my mouth, and I said, oh, I got to start living by that. Here I am preaching. I got to be willing to live it. So, most of the time, a preacher that preaches is one that's probably the most uncomfortable to all. Listen to this. It says, it sets forth and displays its power in the most wonderful way in the writings of the New Testament. For when the time had fully come, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ established on earth the kingdom of God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Jesus Christ came and established on this earth the kingdom. Well, where did He establish it? I mean, if He put it here, it's got to be evident that it's working here. It's got to be evident that it can be seen here. It's got to be evident that it's in operation. Where is it established? My sister over here, she's got the answer, but she's not in our hearts. In other words, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are where God has revealed His kingdom. It is in us that the Holy Spirit has been given. It is in us that the love of God lives. The unconditional love of God lives in me. The unlimited power of God's love lives in me. His unlimited power. Unlimited. And it's all created and generated by love. It can't be generated by anything else. If it could be generated with anxiety, we'd all be on a glory trip. Because most of us walk in anxiety. If it could be generated by depression or by the intellect or by the wisdom of man, why, we'd all be walking around really doing a great thing. But it can only be generated in God's love that lives in us. The kingdom of God has been revealed, and what was revealed was love for one another, united in love, united in Jesus, in love with one another. Christ established on earth the kingdom of God. Listen to this now. He revealed His Father and Himself through word and deed. He preached the word that the Father had given Him, and He performed deeds of mercy. He healed the sick. He restored blind eyes. He cleansed the leper. He preached to the poor. He was a messenger of hope. He loved everybody. I mean, the things that come out of His mouth was hope. You got hope, sister. There's hope. There's hope. Jesus came because He loved us. He established, He revealed His Father. Jesus Christ revealed my Father through word and deed. And by His death and resurrection and glorious ascension, as well as sending the Holy Spirit, Jesus completed His work. A lot of us have been waiting for Him to come back and finish it. But I'm going to tell you something that may be a shocker to some of you. Jesus completed His work on the cross. I mean, it is final, complete, and it is done. Now, the thing that we have to recognize is, who did He do it for? Who did Christ die for? Who did He come for? Who did He come and to bring the word and deeds to? Who did He bring them to? Me. Well, if He brought them to me, He brought them to you. You see, the problem that we have is that we don't understand that all that God did, He did it for me. And if He did it for me, sister, I know He did it for you. I mean, there's nothing that God has left undone today that would leave you and I short of the kingdom of God. The only thing we've got to do is accept it. Everything that He did it for my benefit. He did it so that I could be like Him. Jesus completed His work. Then who did God send to finish it? Who did God send? Well, let's say it. Who did He send, brother? Okay, where does that Holy Spirit live? In me. So in other words, God has sent me to this earth and filled me with His Holy Spirit so that the work of Jesus could be carried on. Amen. Well, then you and I, you know, I'm not in this thing all by myself. I mean, every single one of us here tonight and everyone in the world has that responsibility. Jesus completed His work. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in me, to guide me, and produce in me His love. The only thing that the Holy Spirit can produce is love. It'll never produce criticism. It'll never produce anxiety, fear, doubt, disbelief. It'll never produce depression. It'll never produce bitterness or hatred toward one another. It'll only produce love. And when we begin to walk in that love, we will begin to see the unlimited power of God work. You know, I was reading the Bible one day, and you know how we, at Mass, we have certain readings for certain Sundays, and the gospel that was read this particular Sunday was the gospel on the wedding feast at Cana. And I was rather curious, I reckon was the biggest word I could find, as to why Jesus would start His wedding, why He would start His ministry at a wedding. Did you ever think about that? I mean, why did He just go straight to the graveyard and start popping people out of the hole? I mean, come out, you know, boom. I mean, that would be the way to start. Some of you are going to do it. And I began to pray and ask the Lord, why would You start Your ministry to win? You know, transforming wine, water into wine. I thought, you know, I would have probably done it a little bit different. You know, I would have, probably. But see, that's the reason I weren't there and He was. And it was in this a state of prayer, really. I just began to pray and ask God, well, you know, would You just tell me why You started Your ministry at a wedding? It's the first miracle He ever performed. And Jesus, one morning about 3 o'clock, I woke up. He said, Charlie, you know I'm in the business of putting people together. I'm in the business of loving people. I'm in the business of bringing relationships together, of loving one another. My whole ministry is a ministry of love. Healing is a ministry of love. Preaching the Word of God is a ministry of love. The fact that Jesus would empty Himself and go to the cross for me is a ministry of love. I didn't deserve it, but He loved me enough and did that so that I could be like Him. So that we could walk in the same love that He walked in. You see, it's in love that the miracles are performed. It's in love that people are healed. It's in love that prophecy comes. It's in love that we pray in the Spirit. It's in love that we share with one another. It's in love that we come to Mass on Sunday morning to partake of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Loving community. Loving one another. Helping one another. Edifying and strengthening one another. Now, that's what the bishops say about the New Testament. They say it is in this, as we walk in the faith, that produces our salvation. Now, I need to ask you folks a question. When can we operate in our faith? You ever thought about it? You see, the only reason I ask these questions is because most of my life I never thought about it. I just kind of, you know, went diddy bopping along, you know. And one day I got to thinking about these things that are important in my life to God. When can I operate in my salvation? When can I have salvation? When can I love my brother? When can I operate in the Word of God? When can I let Jesus be the Lord of my life? When can I let that be? When does it happen? Would somebody like to share? Would somebody like to just step out and say it? When can I love my wife? Right now. When can I love my children? When can I love my priest? When can I love my next door neighbor? When can I pray for my neighbor or my wife or my children or the community that's sick? When can I pray for them to be healed? Today. Now, in other words, when can I be ready to go to heaven? Huh? Right now. We don't have no other time than now. I mean, now's the time. Now is when I operate in the Word of God. Now is when I commit my life to Him. Now is when I decide to love you. And you know, you don't have to do anything to get my love. You just don't have to. I mean, I'm going to love you. I don't care what you do. And that same love that Jesus has for you, He'll never turn away from you. He'll never turn His back on you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you orphaned because He loves you. Now I'm going to read you something because this is the whole gospel message. If we could ever get a handle on this, we're on our way. And I'm going to be reading from the epistle of John, 1 John, 4th chapter. John, the 4th verse, beginning with the 17th verse. Let me see. God is love. Well, first of all, you got to know who this was written to before it'll make any sense to you. Who was this written to? Somebody would like to... Brother, your tongue isn't tied. Okay. How about the rest of you? Would you all like to take a stab at it? How about saying me? Can we all say me? Let's say it loud.
Well, it don't hurt nobody. I mean, my throat is, you know, I get excited and I get loud and my throat gets a little raspy. But, you know, we go to football games and get wear our throats out. And one of the greatest and exciting things for us to know today, that this was written to who?
Me.
Who did Jesus die for?
Me.
Who did he come for?
Me.
The price that he paid, who did he pay it for? Well, don't you see, you say, well, you know me. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest news that's ever hit this earth. And dear God, I want to tell you, I get excited when I think about what Jesus has done for me. He done it for me. Well, I'm going to tell you, if that don't get you excited, roll over and die. Everything that God has done, who did he do it for?
Me.
Well, you're getting a little bit better. I'm going to tell you, I want you to take a look at this wonderful sister right here. There has never been, ever in the past, or will there ever be one in the future like her. Now, most of the time we take that and we'll like to use it as a put down. Well, thank God there won't be no more like her. Well, I can tell you that there won't be no more like you. That there won't be any. Brother, I'm going to tell you, God didn't make any more like you. That's what, to me, overwhelms me to think that God, first of all, never made any junk, and he never made two alike. We are created in his image. In an image that when I look at you, you bring a dimension of Jesus to me that I've never seen before. You bring a dimension to Almighty God to me that I've never had the experience to witness. And as I look through here, each one of you, I see an original creation of Almighty God. Never to be duplicated again. Never, ever to be done again. You are one of a kind, and it's in that uniqueness that Jesus came and died just for you. Just for you. It's personal. It is so personal. So everything that he done, we must begin to look at one another in the light that Jesus looks at us. Original, pure, holy instruments of Almighty God. Not what I think about you, but what Jesus thinks about you. And you see, it's in that light that I must begin to love you. Because you're special. I'm going to tell you, brother, that you can't be replaced in God's kingdom. I'm going to tell you that. And I'm going to tell you something else. The work in the kingdom of God won't be complete until you've finished your job. In him. And the whole thing boils down to when we can begin to look at one another and see the kingdom of God. When I can look at my sister and see in her the original image of Almighty God. She brings a dimension of God to me that I've never seen before. I get excited about it too. And I can look around this room and see that original creation. Now, this is the reason that Jesus said we must love one another. God never drew a blank. I'm going to tell you. He never made a mess. We're the ones that keep making the mess. It's by his mercy that we're allowed to keep making a mess. But he still loves us, and Jesus is telling us this. Listen carefully. Through the revelator writer of John, and I believe John is also the one that wrote the Gospel of John, he says this, God is love, and anyone who lives in love lives in God. Anyone who lives in love lives in God. God lives in him, and he lives in God.
My brother Lou right here. Listen to this. God is love. I'm reading this to Lou here. Lou, God is love, and anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him. That's me and you, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit has been sent by the Father through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could begin in the Holy Spirit to begin to be transformed into the image of God. And the only way that our transformation comes as we begin to love one another. It won't come any other way. I've tried other ways that it won't work. As I am willing to die to my own selfishness, my own desires, my own self-seeking goals, when I no longer desire those things, and I just begin to move in the Holy Spirit, loving my brothers and sisters, preaching the Word of God, God begins to mold me into His image. The bishops tell us that we're all apostles and that we're all preachers. So if we're not being molded into God's image, it's because we're trying to mold our own image. We're trying to make a name for ourselves. Well, the name has already been made, and His name is Jesus. You'll never make your name above His name. Amen. And it's as we yield, I told you I was going to throw you a hunk of meat tonight. As we yield to Him and accept Him and His Lordship and see our unworthiness and the fact that we can't make it on our own, it's through Him that we become somebody. It's through Him that we can begin to recognize one another. It's in Him that we can begin to love one another. And it's in that love that's going to build a church. It's in that love that's going to build the kingdom of God. It's in that love that will heal the body. It'll heal families. It'll heal children. God said that He is love. And anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in Him. Love will come to its perfection in Lou. God's love will come to its perfection in Lou when Lou can face the day of judgment without fear. Boy, now we got to stop there. But I'm going to tell you something else. Most of us are bound by fear. We're afraid of everything. Crops aren't going to make it. RS is going to get me. Oh, it's me. Money market just went down the tubes. Put all my money in the stock market and it's over. I mean, we're afraid of everything. And Jesus said that love will be perfected in you and I when we can face the day of judgment without fear. Now, if all that God has done, He did it for me, and we just agreed that He did it for me to operate in today, when is my day of judgment? When? When? We're judged when? We're judged now. And I'm going to tell you how we're judged. We're judged by the way we judge other people. Jesus said, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Grant pardon and you will be pardoned. So if you're not judging, if you're not condemning, if you're loving, then I'm going to tell you, if you're the reason that fear, well, let's read on. This is so good. It says this. It says, in love there can be no fear. But fear is driven out by perfect love, because to fear is to expect punishment. When you go against a person, when you're going to get even, well, his goal is to get even too, cause a little fear in you, won't it?
You take your brother to court. You're going to sue him. I'll get even with that sucker. It'll cause fear in your heart. It'll cause you to tense up. It'll cause you to have apprehension. We wonder why there's so many heart bypasses today. We walk around in such hypertension, it closes up our blood vessels and the blood can't flow. Because we hate our brother! If we love that brother, then the heart don't have too much to do. It just ticks along, pookity-poop, pookity-poop. I mean, it never gets out of sorts. Your blood vessels don't swell on your tongue. I'll get that sorry fuller. And all you do is you blow a fuse. Hypertension. And they lay it to cholesterol.